This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Good evening, I'm David Gale.
And I'm Paul McClure.
On tonight's edition of The Informer, we speak to the Greens Senator Janet Rice about this year's plans in terms of marriage equality. Then we talk with Eilish Hughes from Wyndham City Council about the upcoming Park Lounge event that is part of Midsummer. And finally, we chat with Karen from Finance about the talent show that is run as part of the Park Lounge event. A Senate inquiry shown that equal marriage is possible in the term of this Parliament, despite highlighting flaws in the federal government's draft bill. This inquiry is another step in the journey towards marriage equality, the Greens LGBTIQ spokesperson Senator Janet Rice has said. Tonight on The Informer, we are joined by Senator Janet Rice. Welcome, Senator.
Hello, David.
I'm quoting you, and here you are as well.
Here I am in the studio.
Look, it's great. We've talked to you before on The Informer. It's great to have you in the studio. The plebiscite is dead. That was a big achievement late last year. And it's been a while since we've heard that P word. In fact, I think it's been taken out of the vocabulary. It was bandied around everywhere.
Yes, and, you know, people, plebiscite and plebisec and all sorts of things, people getting very confused. So I think it's very good that it's dead
ever,
and buried.
We've never heard of it before in our lives until
no,
it came up.
So many people learnt what a plebiscite was.
True,
isn't
that's true. And, of course, marriage equality hasn't happened. So maybe the government was hoping that this was an issue that was just going to go away.
Well, I think that's what they hoped, and certainly the plebiscite was a thought bubble of Tony Abbott's to sort of try and delay marriage equality for as long as possible. And clearly that didn't work, and the problems with the plebiscite were all too clear. But there was one tiny silver lining of the whole plebiscite debate and issue and palaver, and that was for the first time the government put on the table a bill for marriage equality. As part of the plebiscite, there was what was called an exposure draft of the legislation that they were going to put into the Parliament if the plebiscite was successful.
So the bill for the plebiscite to enable Parliament, you know, if it had been voted through, to enable the whole show to continue, was a bill with provisions for the plebiscite as well as a marriage equality bill attached to it.
That's right. Well, it wasn't a final bill, but essentially with the legislation from the plebiscite, they also released what they called this exposure draft legislation, which was legislation for marriage equality, but it's got a huge number of exemptions and ifs and buts, particularly to try and appease the very religious people in the right wing of the Liberal Party.
So what happened about those exemptions?
Well, the interesting thing is, as I said, that was the tiny silver lining that here's a bill from the government for marriage equality. So we in the Senate decided, well, let's have a look at that bill. And so the inquiry that's currently underway in the Senate is looking at marriage equality and those religious exemptions in particular. Mm. So we've been focusing on hearing from people about, well, do you need these religious exemptions which are in the bill? And, you know, where is the balance between marriage equality and religious freedoms? So we had 3 days of hearings last week, and it was very clear from the majority of people that submitted to us that, in fact, you don't need the exemptions that were put into the bill, that essentially for religious marriage, already in the current Marriage Act, there's a bit that says if you're a religious organisation, you can decide that you can refuse to marry anybody just on the grounds of saying, I don't want to marry you. So if you've got a religious, you know, a church or a mosque that decides if the same-sex attracted couple came to them and said, would you marry us? They are within their rights under the current legislation to say, no, we don't want to.
So that's what you've learned from this inquiry. Is that a multi-party inquiry? Or?
Yes. So it's got Labor, Liberal, myself, and a member from the Nick Xenophon team on that inquiry. I mean, some of the other things that we looked at was, of course, the whole issue of what the bill was pushing for was to try and get further exemptions so that the classic, the cake bakers and the florists would be able to say, no, we're not going to bake a cake for you or give you flowers for your wedding because we don't like same-sex attracted people getting married.
We won't hire a car to you.
That's right. And what we learnt last week was, you know, it's just such a slippery slope. And that if we are going to have exemptions on the grounds of religious freedom like that, in fact, they're better to sit in our anti-discrimination legislation where they can then be weighed up against, you know, the rights of people to their religious freedoms versus the rights of same-sex attracted people to not be discriminated against.
Sure. So that's where we are up to at the moment. Where are we going to go to from now? How do we, what's the path forward to achieve our goal of marriage equality?
Our Senate inquiry concludes and will report the week after next. So we're planning to have it report into Parliament on the 13th of February, the day before Valentine's Day, just to keep a focus on the love element of it. And there will be probably a range of reports associated with that inquiry once we bring it down. But what I'm hoping from there is that from what we've learnt from the inquiry, that we will be able to introduce into the Senate some cross-party legislation that will reflect some of the things we learnt, that might have a bit of tweaks from the various bills for marriage equality that have previously been introduced. And that that bill would have sponsorship from us, the Greens, from Labor, from Liberal, from the crossbench. And I am really hopeful that we will be able to get that bill through the Senate in the first half of this year. So I think the numbers will be there.
That seems quite unusual because normally the bills start off down in the House of Reps. So for, and it's not unprecedented, of course, but for you to put together a bill in the upper house and take it down. Now, we were talking before the program and you said, and I said, well, you know, you can just obviously put that bill together because, you know, the Greens and the Labor Party and then maybe a couple across. And you said, no, it doesn't necessarily work that way. The numbers are quite different.
The numbers are really tight because not all members of the Labor Party support marriage equality. I mean, the Greens, it's every MP, every vote, excuse me, every time. But there are members of the Labor Party that we know aren't in favour of marriage equality and will, even if they don't vote against it, will abstain from that legislation.
So you know all the players.
Essentially, to get it through, we know that we're likely to need a couple of Liberals to cross the floor and vote for it. And we know that there are Liberals in the Parliament who are in support of marriage equality. And if we have a bill that's, you know, was originally their government's bill, so that's the whole thing, it was originally their bill, the pressure on them to say, OK, we're supporting this bit of legislation to get it through the Senate. And I think it's going to be a tight thing, but I think we will probably have the numbers for that in the first half of this year. Then the bill then goes to the House of Representatives and there it sits. And we know that it's, you know, currently we're in a situation in Australia with the majority of people in support of marriage equality, the Prime Minister on the record of support of marriage equality, Leader of the Opposition, the pressure on Malcolm Turnbull and the Liberals to then debate that bill and to realise that it's not going away, that Australians do want to achieve marriage equality, is going to be intense. And we've got a community, a movement that's fired up, that's going to keep the pressure on until we get legislation through the Parliament.
In the end, you know, as far as the government's concerned, they're going to have a couple more years before they have to call another election. And they're not going to have a policy and they're going to say, oh, well, we offered you a plebiscite and that's all there is to it. So it'll be a quite stark difference. So they've got to actually act
exactly
on this.
Exactly. It's untenable, surely, given the level of public support, given the Prime Minister's position, for him to just be held back by the troglodytes of his, you know, the right wing of his party and say, we're going to the election with a policy that's saying that we're not going to move on equal marriage. I can't see it happening. It would just be holding him back so far, be such an unpopular position to be taking, and particularly given that we know, you know, it's not going to go away. The pressure to achieve equal marriage is just going to continue to ramp up and up and up for Australia to be joining the rest of the world and to be able to celebrate the love between two people.
Belatedly joining the rest of the world. Look, obviously you've got allies with all the different parties, and as you mentioned, it needs to be a multi-party type of bill, because I remember there was a bill introduced by the Greens with somebody or other else in the lower house. I think there was also Bill's bill, which was Party bill.
Yeah.
And obviously that looked like a ramshackle sort of thing. So this does seem like a great strategy. I mean, you know.
Yes, I mean, there is a multi-party bill that was introduced in the House and is there. But the issue with that is that it's going nowhere because it won't be brought on for the debate if the government doesn't want to bring it on for the debate.
Yeah,
much more pressure
business.
If we've got a another bill that's already been through the Senate that's then come down to the House and is sitting there in the House and saying, and really, you know, just waiting to be acted on.
And of course, we have lots of community groups that are involved in supporting marriage equality. And I suppose they've really just got to wait on the Parliament at this stage. And, you know, we should all, as a community, support those groups. But what can we actually do otherwise in order to maybe bring some pressure to bear on parliamentarians? What should we do?
Certainly, you know, supporting the campaign for Australians for Equality, Australian Marriage Equality and Just Equal. But the key thing that needs to happen is to keep the pressure on Liberal members of Parliament right across the country. And here in Victoria, you might live in an electorate, you've got a Liberal member of Parliament. Well, you know, you have got the opportunity then to be getting in the ear of that MP and to be really applying the pressure to them. You've also got Liberal senators, because, you know, I'm a senator.
Yeah.
And senators are elected and they cover the whole state. So we've got, you know, two, in fact, new Victorian senators, James Patterson and Jane Hume, and they need to have the pressure put on them to be really asking them where they stand on the issues of marriage equality.
Okay, so write to those senators.
That's right. Write to them, ring them up, ask to meet with them and tell them your story. I mean, if you're a couple that wants to get married, that's been together for ages and, you know, really has got such a strong case as why you shouldn't be discriminated against, you should be treated the same as all the rest of the other Australians, they're the stories that James Patterson and Jane Hume and all the other Liberal members of Parliament need to hear.
And, of course, if you live in the inner east, ring up Kelly O'Dwyer and just say, look, I want to talk to about this, because she's a Liberal sitting member and she's in the lower house and she covers an electorate which is very, very marginal as far as the number of votes that she lost in the last
election. Exactly, and the Libs need to feel the pressure, that they need to really realise that, look, they can't just be being held back by the actually quite small numbers of people in their party who are, you know, the religious right, who basically, you know, believe that marriage is all about the sexual union of a man and a woman to beget children, which is what we were told last week. Right. That no, Australian society does not have that narrow definition of marriage, and they need to hear that, and they need to know that unless they change their position and support marriage equality, that they are going to go down at the next election.
True. Mm. Now, a lot of people do live in Kelly O'Dwyer's electorate in the inner east. You're from the west, and I know you represent in Senate, of course, different senators are elected, but they represent the whole of the state. But you're from the inner west, aren't you?
I am. I live in Footscray. That's
right. We are heading over to the west in a few moments to talk about some of the initiatives by the Wyndham City Council. So, look, it's been great having you in the studio. You know, it's good to see your face here. And, you know, we've talked many times on the phone, but we will keep on talking with you and finding out what's going on to keep our listeners updated with the Marriage Equality Day.
Great, David. Look forward to continuing the discussion until we get there and we can be popping champagne corks together.
Thank you very much, Senator Janet Rice. Okay, Park Lounge is in its third year. It's held at a small park in Werribee Town Centre. The event presents performance, music, market and, of course, food and beverage. Think community meets high art meets LGBTI culture. Park Lounge will welcome you into Werribee's heart and leave you wanting more. Tonight on The Informer, we're joined by the Wyndham City Council's Community Planning and Development Department's Eilish Hughes. Thanks for joining us, Eilish.
No problem.
Look, the West has an image of working and of an industrial side of Melbourne. And although it's increasingly becoming an area where many Melburnians call home and many from the LGBTI community, can you tell us how Wyndham City Council is supporting our diverse community?
Sure. Well, there's a range of ways. One of the important ways, I think, is through making sure our services that we provide are safe and supportive. So we have great youth services for young people, the Q group. Our kindergarten services and our maternal and child health services use Rainbow Families Council resources to support their work. Our library services, all of our librarians have had training in working with queer communities, and they put together book lists to give to people to kind of show people what's in their collection for queer readers. We also do really symbolic things like raising the rainbow flag out the front of the Civic Centre for Ida Hobbit Day, marching in Pride. We've had councillors and staff marching in Pride over the years. And then we also do things that celebrate queer culture. So Park Lounge is a great example of that. And we also have the Wyndham Art Gallery, where we put on exhibitions every midsummer that are by queer artists and reflect some aspect of queer culture in the West.
Now, you mentioned the Pride March, and many of us were at the Pride March, either in it or spectating. Was the Wyndham City Council represented by the Go West group, or were they represented this year?
That's right, yeah. So Go West is a collaboration between all of the Western Suburbs Councils, and was really a way of joining our voices and joining our resources to point out that there is a burgeoning queer community out here in the West. So yes, each year over the last 5 or 6 years, councillors and staff from all of those councils have marched together under that banner.
How has the Go West Festival been, or representation and festival been received? Certainly in the Western Suburbs, how's that been received?
Oh, it's been received really warmly, and I think that's partly because it offers a really diverse range of activities. So there's something for everyone in the Go West program. There's plenty of the traditional things like, performances and music, but there's lots of spoken word, there's community things, there's family things, there's sporting things. So I think it really reflects the diversity of the West, and I think that's why it's been so well received.
Does that surprise you at all?
It doesn't surprise me one bit. I live in the West. I know that there are always queer people living here, and I think that it's a matter of recognising that diversity, and I think it's really important. I think what Go West has done well is to not try and kind of imitate our traditional kind of inner city queer culture, but to listen to who's on the ground in the West and then reflect that in the offerings during midsummer.
Yeah, your involvement with Midsummer goes back a few years. Is this, is it Wyndham Council just trying to catch up with some of the more progressive inner city councils?
I don't think so. I don't think councils are in the habit of playing copycat with other councils. I think it's more about recognising who lives in your community and responding to that. And so the population in Wyndham is growing massively all the time. We're at 200,000. We've got 86.5 babies born every week, I think, in Wyndham at the moment. So we're growing hugely.
Sorry, how many babies?
86.5.
86.5.
Every week. And also, you know, it's a growth
corridor.
It's a growth corridor in Melbourne. So, you know, I know many of our friends live out in Point Cook and around that inner Bayside Western area.
Exactly. People move here because it's affordable. Mm. They move here for the open space. They move here to raise families, the same reasons everyone else moves to Wyndham. So do queer people. And that's what we're seeing, is we're recognising that and we're responding to it at council.
Speaking of the population growth in the West, and you were just talking about that, where do you think the council's headed in the future? Is it, and will it continue to support the LGBTI community in out the West?
Yeah, look, I think what we've done so far has been, we've done some really great work with our kind of family, youth and children's type services. Mm. And I think what we'll do is learn from that and look at all the rest of our services and say, what else can we be doing to make our services accessible and safe for the queer community? And I think the other thing we'll be doing is really supporting the community to go ahead and flourish on its own independently of council. So there are things like, we have community grants that are perfect for people who want to get a group started or want to start an event or an activity. Council really wants to support that so that the community becomes strong, not only with the support of council but independently of council as well.
It sounds fantastic to provide that structure and that service to community members so that they can develop their strengths and show them off. I think it's great.
Absolutely, yep.
So Park Lounge in its third year, and it'll be held in Werribee very, very soon. Tonight we actually have, we've been talking with Eilish Hughes from the Wyndham City Council about Park Lounge, and that will transform Kelly Park into a boutique lounge experience. From colourful inflatable couches, you can take in twilight music, avant-garde drag, circus and dance. Avant-garde drag, I'm just thinking about. Tonight on The Informer, we're joined by the MC for Park Lounge, Karen from Finance. Welcome, Karen.
Hello, darlings. How are you?
Look, Karen, it's great to have you in the studio with your trademark bright yellow hair.
I'm glad it fit through the door.
Just.
I'm surprised you get away wearing this outfit to your job in finance every day.
It is kind of a high-vis option so that I can be seen in the evening, so it is a bit of a change wearing it in the daytime.
Now, look, I've heard that you've been spreading yourself around the Western Suburbs. Posters are up, in the sense that there's posters up all over the western suburbs, with you as the Park Lounge MC.
Thank you for clarifying. Yes, it is on the posters. Yeah, I am emceeing the Beyond the Bridge talent show at Park Lounge on Saturday, which is very exciting. There's a whole range of performance that the Wyndham City have organised for the event. We've got a couple of the inner city local girls and other performers like Art Simone, Christina Andrews, Sexy Galaxy, Benny Lola is joining us in the show. And then there's also some local acts that have been organised by choreographer James Wellsby as well. Adolfo, Kiki Tajay, Recipro Vocal, etc., etc. So it's an hour-long talent show with a completely diverse range of performance.
Now, Karen, I wasn't going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you whether you go past each of those posters at night, make sure that nobody's put a moustache on them, and also to collect phone numbers that may have been left on them.
Well, that's what I'm going to be doing after the show on Saturday.
Okay. So, well, we know where you'll be.
Yeah.
So we can expect that from you at Park Lounge. The talent show Beyond the Bridge. Do you know why it's called Beyond the Bridge?
Yeah. So in the early days of talking about doing Park Lounge this year for Midsummer, we were talking about... We were trying to work out what the theme was going to be, and James Wellsby was talking with one of the acts. I think it was one of the spoken word acts. And sort of the whole purpose about this existing is so that we can activate a space that's outside of the inner city, the inner city suburbs, so that the queer sort of nightlife and the show life is being produced somewhere other than the city. Mm. So it's about going beyond the bridge as opposed to, you know, the western suburbs coming into us.
Yeah. Well, it's like we refer to, you know, south of the river and north
exactly.
of the river. Similar sort of theme.
Exactly, yeah. So we're the show, every show in the Talent Quest on Saturdays to respond to that concept of beyond the bridge.
Fantastic.
And also, yeah, there's a metaphor about, you know, looking beyond the bridge, and certainly with our own sexual identity and whether we're, you know, part of a community as part of the LGBTIQ area. Look, it's going to start at 4 p.m, which I don't know how that goes daylight with your makeup, because, you know, you seem to wear some pretty heavy-duty makeup there.
Yes, but, you know, January is the month for testing it out. We just had Pride, of course, Midsummer yes. Carnival, getting better at it, the day drag these days.
Now,
I should say it is that early because it's an all ages event.
Yes, it's a family event. Totally free as well, of course. So it starts from 4 o'clock and goes right through until 9 p.m. There's DJs and music right through, jumping castle, face paint for the kids, market food, etc. And then the talent show starts at 6:30.
There's also the Saffron Kitchen. Hopefully they're not just serving up saffron.
Saffron rice.
It sounds exciting. There's a barbecue and a pop-up bar. Also, I know that DJ Oily Shoes and DJ Jamie Daltona, which is Jamie of Altona, I love that.
Yes.
They're two of the DJs, but there's quite a few DJs on there as well. It's going through till 9 o'clock, which isn't too late because you can still get around to those posters to collect the numbers.
Exactly. Hopefully before the sun goes down.
In the talent show, I'm just wondering whether we're going to discover anybody amazing. Anthony Kalea came from the western suburbs, didn't he?
I'm pretty sure he did. Can you confirm that?
I can't confirm that. No, I've never been to his house.
Oh, well, maybe. You know, it might happen.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, there could be some great talent to be discovered, certainly in the West. Many of my friends have told me there is a lot of talent over there in the West.
I have had a rundown of kind of what's coming from each performer, and I am very excited to see some new talent and discover, some new faces on the stage.
Now, also, I've seen you around town for Midsummer. Mm-hmm. I caught you at Quiz of Comedy last week, which was a sensational night.
That was a great night.
It was a great lineup. There were, I don't know, about eight of you or something, and we talked somewhere in the halfway show. Your act was absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
Eye makeup. Well, of course, it was dark and it was indoors, but like over the top eye makeup, and it was a pleasure to meet you. How did Dragathon go, by the way?
The Dragathon was incredible. Melbourne is officially in the Guinness World Record books as of Sunday morning.
Good work. Yay!
We hold the title for the longest drag show ever. We stole it from New York City and it now belongs
so
to
we
us.
So should.
That's continuous right. drag on stage. Anthony Wallace's venue, the 86. He had the Dragathon going, and of course raising money for Switchboard as well, which is great. When did you appear on at Dragathon?
I was on from 7 o'clock with Avril Lavigne, and I went right through until goodness, like 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
Yeah, and I think the record was broken around about 2 or 3 in the morning.
So. Yeah, that's right. Yep. So we went 36.25 hours or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, which is what it had to be. And you've still got some more shows coming up? Other involvement?
Yes, of course. So I'm opening Auto Bio Queen as well as Summer Treats, which is a yummy production, both tomorrow night at Gasworks Art Park. And they're carrying on until Saturday evening.
All right. But, of course, on Saturday, Kelly Park will be transformed into a fantastic festival, Park Lounge. So if you want to make it down there, starts at 4 o'clock. It's in Synod Street, Werribee. It's a short walk from Werribee Station. There's so much on. And really, if you want to head to our podcast after the show, you'll see links to the show as well and how to get there and what to do as well. So it's been great having you here. Thank you, Karen.
Great. It's a pleasure.
From Finance.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.